We'll get to that in a moment. I want us to turn to Matthew 2 this morning. We are in a holiday time. We're in the time when we approach with people all around us celebrating Christmas and all of those kind of things. And I felt it appropriate this morning to preach from Matthew 2. I'm not going to give you the typical Christmas sermon this morning. I'm going to give you something else this morning. But I'm trusting this morning that the Lord, whether you are walking with the Lord for a very long time, or you've been with Him for a short while, or you haven't got a relationship with Him, that you will have an encounter with Him at least today. And I'm just getting to you right where I'm going. So fasten your seatbelt this morning. Allow the Holy Spirit just to minister to you this morning. It's a very simplistic message this morning, but yet I believe God can touch us. We know the story. If you've been around the block a couple of times, you know the story about the wise men from the east, about Jesus' birth. And just to give you some background, it's a complicated situation at that time. You can go and read about that in the church history and all of that. But we have the situation with Herod, an earthly king that felt intimidated by the other kings. And when he heard the news about Jesus, he felt intimidated about his kingdom. And he approached the wise men and asked them, where is this king? But let's go to verse 1. We'll read from there. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And that's a quotation from Micah 5 verse 2. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And we'll read up to there. I want to talk about the title of my sermon this morning is Dividing Lines. Dividing Lines. We see the story about Herod. I know when we grew up, we had the three shepherds and the three wise men, but we don't necessarily know how many there were. We know there were three gifts. Many of us think that that the wise men came to Jesus while he's still in the cradle there. Well, it's unlikely because when they came to Herod, and Herod asked them, he decided to kill all the boys from 2 years under. So most likely Jesus was about 2 years old. Can't say that, but that's what, when we read scripture, that's what we can deduce from that. And they brought him gifts and all of that. But the verse I want to lift out this morning for our sermon is verse 9, and I'm going to read that again. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Just that verse this morning. You see, when God encounters our lives, time stops and everything around it for that moment. We see that in the birth of Christ. When Christ came to earth, time was divided at that moment. The whole world was separated by the birth of Christ. That's the only event. There's no other event you can say that about. A lot of things happen in and around us every day. And we look at our calendar, but not any other event we can say that of this morning. That when Christ came, time stood still for a moment, and there was a dividing line. You see, even 2 weeks ago when Nelson Mandela passed away, there was a mourning period for almost a week in South Africa, and I believe here as well in a lot of other countries. But time didn't stand still. There wasn't a dividing line. Even though he was, for many people, an icon, for many people, a great man, and with all due respect this morning, when Jesus came, time stood still, and there was a dividing line. You see, when things happen, some things, when they happen with such force and intensity that you can mark your whole life before and after that. I'm going to say that again. Some things, when they happen, still today, they happen with such a force that you can mark your whole life with a before and a after that. We make human decisions daily. And some of that this morning, I want to share with you. You see, one of the greatest decisions or biggest decisions I've made is to get married. Don't go there first. I know some of you can preach this sermon. You know where I'm going. That means before marriage and after marriage. Can I just see any married people? Who's married? Can I just raise your hands quickly? Let me see how many married people. And then single people available for a cup of coffee afterwards. Nobody? Oh no, there's one. Thank you for your honesty. You see, when we get married, we've got certain expectations or certain ideas about what marriage is like. You know? Or we think this is the way it's supposed to be. I remember when I met my wife, she was hoping for Prince Charming to sweep her off the floor. But then after the marriage, I realized that it's Mr. Clean helping the sweeping the floor. Things change between that. We're going there. There's positive stuff as well. Okay, I love my wife. I love marriage. It's not negative this morning. And it carries on. You know, before marriage, our sofa was a place where she would let you cuddle. I draw this picture, so don't laugh at this. It's very difficult to draw all this stuff, but can't get... My children was looking at it all week, and she's like, "Oh, Daddy, you draw beautiful. I didn't know you draw like that." But anyway, marriage was the place where she would let you cuddle, or the sofa is the place where you would, she let you cuddle. Then after marriage, you might end up sleeping on the sofa. I've not slept on the sofa, okay, so far, but I'm not talking about the spare bedroom, okay, when the kids come. Okay, I'm just confessing this morning, people. I'm just human. Our expectations change, but not necessarily wrong, not necessarily better. It's just different. Before marriage, this is the way life was. After marriage, this is how it changed. There was a dividing line in my life. And it's all of you this morning married, you will know. Before marriage, men thought they could understand women. After marriage, still, they couldn't understand women. But, you know, it's not worse or better. It's just some things never change. That's one of that never change. Before marriage, we could sit down, have a nice meal, peace and quiet. Sorry, I'm running it. Before kids, sorry. We could have a nice meal, peace and quiet, after marriage. You covered with peas and carrots, eh? Or before marriage, you can pick the red. You can go anywhere you want to go without kids. Any nice restaurant. After marriage, you got to pick Wimpy or the Spur, wherever the children can be entertained. Because our lives change. There are dividing lines in our life. And I thank God for my kids. I thank God. It's not necessarily that I'm thankful. I'm just going somewhere here. Bear with me. It changed, definitely. Before marriage, you could wake up anytime on a Saturday morning, lay in a little bit, watch a little bit of TV, having your porridge or cereal there. Anytime, 10 o'clock maybe. Oh, sorry, not before marriage, before kids, after kids. She decides, these human, little human beings. They decide when you get up. They tell you. And then suddenly your television gets possessed. That doesn't belong to you anymore. We watch the things they watch. Last night we had such a situation. I want to watch this. So dad needs to sacrifice what he wants us to watch. And we all do the same. What they. I'm not saying our lives revolve around it. It's just, again, a lot of things change. And likewise, my life changed when I became a pastor. I had certain expectations, what I thought it would be, I thought it would be like. And one of them is, I always thought, you know, when I thought about church, being a pastor, that it's something that a shepherd with his sheep, that's the picture I had, you know, walking there, nurturing. But then I realized afterwards that sheep, they does bite. And it's out sometimes. But bless you, we're getting better. It's getting better, okay? Yeah. And last one. I realized before I was a pastor, I was worried. I remember this. You know, I was always worried, Lord, how am I going to get your church to grow? How am I going to, you know, you've got these things running through your head. How are we going to get the people into here? You said, you're seeing this morning that we almost, a lot of people are away. By the way, if you're visiting, this place is almost too small at this moment. We got to run into a third service sometime next year. We haven't got enough space at the moment. But I found out that after I became a pastor, that God does the work. He adds daily to the church. All those worries I had about how, if I just surrendered to Christ, He does the work. He moves in. And so our lives change for the positive or the negative. Hopefully not this morning. But God is here this morning, and I believe He wants to draw a line here. You see, we can relate, and this is what's burdening me so much, you know, that we can relate so easily to these schematics this morning. Of course your life changed when you got married. You should have known that. Of course, your life changes when you got kids. Because if you didn't know that, you shouldn't have children. Of course, your life changes when you became a pastor. Because you took an oath. You took a responsibility. You made a vow unto God. Say, Lord, I will. I'll shepherd your people. But my question this morning, and this is my sermon, and this is what I came to ask you this morning. Why is it that when we relate so easily to these things, this morning, and I ask it with all sincerity in my heart, why is it that, and especially in our culture, and I'm talking about Namibia this morning, that's a church culture, why is it that we have such a vague sense of allegiance towards God when it comes to our relationship? Why is it that we have such a vague sense of belief in God that has not become the essential dividing line in my life from before and after? Because I can tell you what. I know myself before I met Him. It wasn't just a casual approach. It was something where I bowed my knee at the cross. And a dividing line came forever to be established in my life. Yet we see it in our culture. Yet we see it in our lives all around us. That people has this casual relationship with God, and on and off, and on off and on. And it has not become the essential dividing line in your life. A before I met Christ and after I met Christ that separated, that changed me. I remember that morning. I was standing at 6. Hessel van der Walt, you know him, he's still singing. Back then he was still singing. He was singing at our school concert. And I didn't even know what's happening with me at that moment when he made that invitation. I went to the back of the school hall and they prayed for me. And the next morning as I woke up, at that moment actually, but the next morning I can remember it so clearly, life was different. It was like darkness and light. That line came, that dividing line was established in my life. Where are you standing this morning? If you crossed that dividing line this morning, you see, if I understand Scripture correctly, when I look at the line, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have become new. Have you become new this morning, especially over this time, when we're surrounded by all the lights and the trees and all the other stuff? Separate yourself from that for a moment. Ask yourself the question, when the stars stood still at that moment, and maybe, just maybe this morning, God has let the star stand still for a moment to draw your attention. I propose to you this morning that you didn't come to church this morning just to tick another service. Just maybe out there, the creator of the universe, if he did it for the astrologers, for wise men out from the east, they didn't even serve God. But he separated the time. He's let the star stood still for that moment so that they can have an encounter. Maybe, just maybe today. I know this year's been hectic. I know we've all been busy with our stuff, the ups and the downs. But I'm here to say to you this morning, the star standing still over this time, over your life, over my life, to look at my life and say, God, am I at the right place? You see, there should be a light. There should be a place in your life this morning. There should be a place where you can say, that's where I bow down. That's where the star stopped for me. That's where I admitted, where I received Christ. Not the kind of relationship when we hear it so often. Oh, but my parents grew up in church and I was in church. I'm not asking you this morning where your parents went to church and you grew up in a church environment. I'm asking you, have you bowed down? Is your life, have you crossed the dividing line this morning? On which side are you this morning? And it's so easy, you know, I'm not here, and the sermon can go in either one of two ways this morning. You can see it as accusation, or you can choose to see it as an invitation this morning. Because I don't know where you are, but you know, and the Spirit of God knows that. And as I'm speaking here, it's convicting you of sin, judgment, and righteousness. And he's inviting you this morning, over this Christmas time, whether you celebrate it or not, I can tell you, he's inviting you to cross the dividing line this morning in your life that will forever and forever be that line when you cross. And never things are never the same. Christ is here this morning to move you out of a place of death into a place of life. Out of a place from sin to a place of righteousness. Out of a place of hopelessness to a place of hope over this time. And I know a lot of people, we're sitting here this morning, we're already making this mental notes. We're getting to the end of this year. You're thinking about your year. You think about the time that you've invested. And you start thinking, I've got to stop this. I've got to stop watching that. I've got to stop going there. I've got to stop using that stuff. And I've got to start reading a little bit more Bible. And I've got to start reading, going a little bit more to church. And I start doing this. And we have all these mental notes. But I want to say, stop. Sorry, Carol. Just first one there. You see, that's what religion does. Stop this, start this. Stop this, start this. I want to say to you this morning, Christ has done everything already. He's done everything. That's what religion want to tell you this morning. You got to do something in order to belong somewhere. And all you did just now, as you're making that mental note inside, I got to stop this, I got to start this, I got to stop this, I got to start this. You just went back to the way things were before Christ came. You just sacrificed the bull. You just sacrificed a pigeon, a goat. Might as well say it. Where, when we read, and turn with me to Luke 23 this morning, I want to say to you, don't cross over by something you do. You cross over by something that was already done for you and me. And the cradle was significant. As we in this time, and people, some people celebrate that, and I respect that. I'm saying that this morning. I know we have different views here, but I respect both sides of that. But I want to say the cradle was significant because it pointed to the cross. The message of the cross is not, those who see the star will be saved. We have it in our churches. So many people that they've seen the star, but they've not bowed down at that place where they met Christ. And we have them all around us Christ is not here this morning. The message of the cross is not here this morning to say those who have seen the star are saved. Those who have seen him, bowed before him, accepted him, believed in him, confessed his name, and choose to turn around, to turn their back as we saw that last week. Those are the ones that will be saved. That is the dividing line in my and your life. Luke 23, verse 44. One of the most beautiful parts of Scripture, yet the most saddest parts of Scripture. But read with me from verse 44. And being in agony, this is Jesus. Oh, sorry, got it wrong. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said that, this, he breathed his last. We'll just read up to there. What the star announced in Matthew 2, the cross accomplished in Luke 23 this morning. You see, every other religion tells you, stop this, start this. Stop this, start this. But the cross announced that it is done. Over this time, and I suppose to you this morning, the star is standing still for you this morning, if you're not at that place yet where you've met him. How sad it will be when you look back at 2013 one day. So that time, I could have made that decision. I could have made that decision to walk across the other line, the other side. But I didn't. There was too much pride inside of me. I didn't want to admit. I was worried about what the people say. I've got to stop this and start this. Stop this and start this. I want to say to you this morning that the search is over. The search stops today. You can go and look for it elsewhere, wherever you want to. It stops here this morning at the cross. The search for peace, for joy, and can carry on and on and on. You don't have to stop and start, because my Bible says in Philippians 1 verse 6, he who started the good work in you and me will carry it unto completion if I just submit myself to Christ. If you cross the dividing line this morning, on which end are you this morning? Can I have some music here? Some of you sitting here this morning, maybe you've crossed that line. You're on the other side. But there are certain other lines that you need to cross this morning. Last week, at the Christmas market, I was walking there and I bumped into somebody that played such a big role in my life. For just one sermon. He's now still in the ministry. He's in Grootfontein. In Iwimi. I ran into him. I said, you don't remember me. My grandparents, they all remember him. He played a significant part in their lives. But many years after that, actually, he baptized my grandmother. And then time went by, and I was in the south of Namibia. And I remember he preached a sermon that night, Sons of God. Versus children of God. I see myself, young man, 22 years old. He walks to me. He lays his hand on me. He says, God, make him a son. That night, the Lord baptized me with the Holy Spirit. That was a dividing line in my life, and my life changed forever again. I met Christ. Time went by. And then the Lord baptized me with the Spirit, and everything changed. Or maybe some of you sitting here this morning, there's certain things that you need to cross this morning, that you need to leave behind. Say, God, I'm crossing this line this morning. I'm done with it. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's unforgiveness. You don't want to go into 2014 not crossing that line, not leaving that behind. As I'm just contemplating this morning before, my mind is running through. I said, God, is there any unforgiveness in me? And the Lord shows me which possibly might be, and I just confess that to the Lord. I say, Lord, just I don't want to go into the sermon with that even in my heart this morning. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know where a lot of us this morning. Space doesn't allow us. But God can touch you just where you are. I don't necessarily have to invite you to the front. Although I'd like to pray with you now. Although I want to help you, because this is what I want to say to you. Those who have not crossed the line yet, you need people around you to support you. You cannot make that decision this morning. A lot of us thinking, oh God, I'll just pray this prayer in secret. And I know I've been in church before. I've seen this thing where he's going. Then I'll pray in secret and I'll try and sort my life out there. But those are the people that most likely fall back. Because they're not willing to publicly declare and say, I have accepted. Why should I be ashamed? I'm standing here this morning and say, I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Yet I know I was there. I was afraid, what will people think of me? And I'll tell you what, if people think that of you, me, then they don't belong here. Because then we're not having the same DNA. Because we celebrate new birth. We celebrate when you cross the line. Many of you this morning, you've got to cross that line in other areas. I want us to stand. We're going to sing this song. And while we sing this song, I want you just to give it to the Lord. Maybe you got across that line the first time this morning. Where your life separates, where time stands still, where the stars stand still this morning. Where you enter into a relationship with Christ. Or maybe there's other areas in your life. And like I said, I had to allow the Holy Spirit to investigate and to search me. And just maybe, I want you just to close your eyes where you are as we sing this song. Just to give it unto the Lord. And if you still need prayer afterwards, I'm here. If you need prayer during the week, if you need that support, if you pray that prayer during this hour, I'm going to leave it up to you. Just where you are. If you're praying that for the very first time, so Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I need you this morning. My ways didn't work out. I tried it. But I receive you this morning. Acknowledge that I'm a sinner this morning. And I receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. Just that simple prayer. With all due respect towards the word simple. Yet it's such a profound prayer. It'll come and it'll establish a abiding line in your life. Jesus, let's close our eyes. Jesus
is the center of it all. Jesus is the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. One more time. Jesus at the center of it all, sweet Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus, nothing else matters, nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. And Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life, from beginning to the end, we will always be, it's always been you, Jesus, and nothing else matters, nothing in this world will do, oh, Jesus, you're the center. from my heart. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about, oh, yes, it's all. Center, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. You see, Jesus be the center of your church, your marvelous church, Lord. Jesus be the center of your church. Every knee will bow, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess you, Jesus. We sing Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We will sing Jesus, Jesus. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. We will sing from my heart
to the heavens. Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about
from
you. Center, it's all about,
it's all about you,
yes,
Lord.
It's all about,
it's all about you, Lord.
From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you, yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center.
From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart,
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Our Father, I want to thank you for everybody that prayed this prayer this morning, Lord, that decided to cross that line this morning, Lord, that dividing line, Lord, between the old and the new this morning. Father, I thank you for your grace that comes in to save, Lord. But also, Father, I thank you for that grace that's released, Lord. And I pray for everyone this morning, Lord, that's prayed a prayer, Lord, of God, I got to cross that line. Thank you for grace that empowers us this morning, Lord, to live that life that you called us, to live at that place where you called us to live, Lord. Father, I thank you for every son coming home this morning, Lord. Every lost one this morning, Lord, coming home. We bless your name. We bless your Holy Spirit for the work that you've done. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.